going to learn some more about David and Goliath. Last week, if you were here last Sunday, we talked about David and Goliath, and the title of the message was Godfidence, and I encourage you to go back and watch that. You can get it on our, you know, Travis does an awesome job of putting it on podcast and all that, go to hfchurch.com and listen to it. And so I felt like today that we needed to dive some more into this story, David and Goliath, because I believe that the Lord, during this time with the COVID-19, the pandemic, everything that's happening in our economy, with our government, the things that are happening in our nation, what I feel like the Lord has been ministering to me is that the battle is for our mindsets. We need to have the right mindset. What is governing your mindset? Is it the Word? Is it the Lord? Or is it the media? And even the strongest of Christians, when all you hear is the bombardment from the media and everything that we're listening to, it can affect your mind. How many of you have noticed that? I've noticed it in myself. And so we need to have the right mindset. And I feel like David, even as a young man, had the right mindset. The Bible says, did David have mistakes? Oh, yeah, he had mistakes. But the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. He had the right mindset. And most of you in here, as I survey the room, most of you have grown up in church. You know the Word, most of you. We've heard this story before. Even if you haven't even been in church, you've heard the story of David and Goliath. I can remember, you know, growing up in church and being as a child in Sunday school and hearing this story and having people teach me this story on the felt board. How many of you remember the felt boards, right? You know, I just wanted to go up there and rip Goliath off, you know. And I remember the felt boards. And we all know about, and I talked about this last Sunday, those that were here, you know, how tall the giant named Goliath was. As I was studying this, some scholars believe that he was 9'3" tall. And that's kind of what that equates to in the Word of God. That's a big man. And he wasn't just tall and skinny. He was a big man, big. And then, you know, the 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to get there here in just a second. We're going to read portions of it. But we learned that young David brought food to his brothers, the cheese and crackers. It wasn't pizza delivery. It was cheese and crackers. He comes to, you know, he does what his dad tells him to do, takes this food to him. And they had been there, camped at the Valley of Elah for 40 days. And Goliath coming down every day into the valley and taunting the children of Israel, the army of Israel, and saying, do you not have a man that can fight me? And this kept going on. Saul wouldn't fight him. None of David's brothers would fight him. None of the men of Israel would fight him. And this just kept going on, and so Israel was scared to death. They were afraid. And David shows up. He uses a slingshot and 5 smooth stones, and he kills Goliath and defeats the Philistine with his own sword. And most of us know this story, but the heart of this story is often overlooked, and we're going to look at that today, and I'm going to give you some more things to glean, some nuggets, so to speak, from this story. So if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, there's going to be 5 different points, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, to represent David's 5 smooth stones, okay? And we're going to hurl those stones at the enemy today. But here's, you know, I said this last week, and because I was studying this, and, you know, everything has meaning in the Word of God, and it's like an onion. You've got to peel back layer upon layer and really dig into the Word and find out, you know, what is this saying, you know, and everything. And so I was really digging into the Word one day about the 5 smooth stones, and I said this last week. I was like, Lord, why did he just choose 5? Well, that one scholar said, well, he had 4 other brothers in the land, so that's why he chose 5, and there was all this, and, you know, why were they smooth, and why weren't they rough stones, and yada, 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 and I just felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Mark, that's as many stones as he could cram into his little shepherd's bag. If he could have got 6, he'd have put 6 in there. But there is some meaning behind when the Word points out numbers and things like that, there are meanings, and so I thought this was really interesting. The 5 smooth stones. In Scripture, a stone represents the law. Remember, the 10 commandments were wrote on stone. And the smooth finish of these stones means that they're finished. They weren't rough, it's finished. And the number 5 is the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, and in the number five, so that can also mean the law, and then I also mean grace. So the truth, law, truth, and grace working together. And here's a good scripture that you need to remember, because we may not be facing a physical Goliath, but there's some here today, you're facing a spiritual Goliath. There's some today that we prayed for that in their health, they're facing a Goliath. You may be facing a financial Goliath, whatever it is, an economic Goliath. But Jesus said, and this is what we have to realize as Christians, Jesus said in John 19, verse 30, he said, "It is finished." Look at somebody and say, "It is finished." All right. Now, here's what we have to remember as Christians. We're in a spiritual battle. We are. God gave us a promised land, but there are giants, and we have to fight them by faith. All right? But what you have to get in your knower, and you have to get in your heart, you have to have it in your mind and your heart. And believe me, the enemy's been doing this for a long time, so he's really good at lying about it and tricking you and deceiving you. But you have to realize that he has no power. He has no power. And so we have to fight, but you fight from a finished place, a finished work. He's already been defeated, and you have to know that. You have to know that. Or the enemy can seem bigger than life itself at times. And also, the word Philistine means, in the Old Testament, these are all types and shadows for us in the New Testament. So the word Philistine means to wallow in the dust of self. Sometimes our biggest enemy is us, our flesh. And so Goliath means to be in exile. Exile is the state of being barred from one's native country. And what you have to remember, the enemy will lie to you at times. He's lied to me at times. You're not saved. I've been walking with the Lord since in the early 90s, and I still hear that sometimes. You're not saved. Yes, well, how do you know? By faith, I know I'm saved. That's how we know. I walk by faith and not by sight. He said, "Well, you're sure not acting like it today." Yeah, I know, but I'm saved. I'm saved. And you have to realize that you are a citizen of heaven. You are. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a citizen of heaven. We don't come cleaned up. God cleans us up. And it's a lifelong process. I'm still a work in progress. All right? The Holy Spirit is constantly working on us. You may take five steps back, but guess what? One step forward is progress. In God's kingdom, it is. It may not look like it to anybody else, but it's progress with the Lord. Some of you in here have taken, how many of you ever taken five steps back? I have. Well, you know, and you're like one step, and you're like, "Golly, I got four more." And God said, "No, you're making progress. You're making progress. With me, you're making progress." That's the story of grace, and that's what we all need, God's grace. And so you're a citizen of heaven. David, his name means love as a brother. So it's talking about relational love, and that is so good. You're in a relationship. It's not a religion. Jesus in Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. You're in relationship with the Father through His Son, Jesus. And I love this about David. His name means love. David had a lot of mistakes in his life, but the Bible also says that he was a man after God's own heart. And it means relational love. And here's the thing about what I love about love. What I love about love, there you go, is love covers a multitude of sins. It sure does. And so there's going to be five lessons that I'm going to pull out of this story of David and Goliath. And there's just, like I said last Sunday, there's so much to glean from this story. But we're going to pick it up in verse 45 this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And it says this. It says, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.'" And when you hear this and you think David was, you know, a teenager, you're thinking, man, he was a cocky little arrogant dude. But here's the deal. I believe that he was saying that afraid. Courage is not the absence of fear. I believe he had fear, but he also knew who he was in Christ, who he knew who he was in the Lord. He knew that God had rescued me from the paw of the lion and the bear, and he's going to take care of this Philistine. All right, verse 47, it says, "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's." That's what we have to remember in this time that we're in. I know some of you in here, you know, we've all been affected by what's going on in our world, and we've been affected economically in our jobs and different things. And you have to remember, yes, you're going to have to fight by faith, but remember the battle is the Lord's. "And he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine." This means you've got to face your giant. Look at somebody and say, you need to face your fears. You need to face your fear. And it says, "Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth." Verse 50 says, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it." 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 through 51. I laugh because that's a story we learned in Sunday school as little kids on a felt board. Kill him. Kill the Goliath. All right, here's five lessons. Five lessons I want to give to you today. Number one, these are five lessons to learn from this story, that life applicable lessons. Number one, we need a vision, not a nightmare. Okay? When David walked into that camp that day in the Valley of Elah, where all this was going on, and Goliath was coming down every day and shouting insults against the children of Israel, shouting, even talking about their God. Your God, you know, your God's not with you. You know, y'all say that Israel's the most powerful nation on the earth. Where is your God? I mean, he was just taunting them and everything. There was so much fear going on that there was nightmare. I guarantee you those guys couldn't sleep for 40 days and nights. And then David showed up, and what David had that they didn't have was a vision. The Goliath had just sucked the vision out of the air, out of the atmosphere. Have you ever had that happen? You know, you just cannot see, you know, all you can see is the problem. You can't see the promise. And that was what was going on with the children of Israel, the army of Israel. They could just see the problem. They couldn't see the promise that God had already spoken to them. And so they need a vision, not a nightmare. And so the battle of life is to understand your relationship to the Father and battling against thoughts that make you wallow in self and feel as though you are exiled, separated, and denounced by actions, whether they were past, present, or future. You need to keep that vision alive. Amen? Because the enemy will make you wallow in the past. You need to keep the vision of what God has in front of you alive. And so what I want to ask you this, with this, we need a vision, not a nightmare, is that's what's happening in our nation right now. There's just sucking the vision of what the United States of America is supposed to be and causing people to live a nightmare is what's going on. And so we have to choose, what narrative are you going to believe and trust in? Every day you're given a choice, life or death, blessing or curses. And the Bible tells us what to choose. Choose life and choose blessings. We have to choose those. Sometimes, you know, we need to turn off the TV. Sometimes we need to turn off the radio. You know, sometimes we just need to block out those things that are sucking the vision away from us and causing us to live a nightmare. Okay, now look at this. It says, "Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, 'Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you'll become our subjects and serve us.' Then the Philistine said, 'This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other.' And on hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. There was great fear in the camp. For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand and did this." There was so much fear going on before David showed up. Not only did he give him a man, he gave him a teenager. Teenage man. And I was going to do this before church, and this person doesn't know that I was going to do this during my message. And I'm using this as an illustration today in my message, because we all in life, things happen to us. Amen. That good old bumper sticker that says "stuff happens." Okay, you know what I'm talking about. And we're all, you know, in life, the Bible says, in this world you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have troubles, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. What he's saying is, you're going to go through things, there's going to be days it's going to seem like a nightmare, but you need to keep vision alive. You need to keep hope alive. And just here over the last few weeks, there was something that happened to somebody in our family, but also in our church family, and it was a young lady, it's my niece, Bree, who was going to college, and she was moving in, you know, that time when I can remember my college days, scared to death to leave home, scared to death to go to a new school, a new community, you know, just lots of fears going on, even though I tried to act like I had it all together. On the inside, there was a lot of screaming going on. I don't have it all together. I'm afraid. And, you know, the fear of the future and what's going on and blah, 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 had all that going on. And I know Bree has as well. And she goes to college. They find her, Clark and Jen do an awesome job, find her a place to stay. They find this place, and she gets moved in, and she just gets her stuff there. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but what happened was all of her stuff got stolen. Not just some, every bit of it got stolen, every bit of it. And this is what blessed me, Bree, is when Jennifer called me and said, Mark, Bree wants the Bible that y'all got them for their graduation, which, you know, if you know the backstory of this, they didn't have a baccalaureate and a graduate. I mean, they did, but it wasn't normal at all. And so the Ministerial Alliance here in town gives our seniors Bibles every year. And so this blessed me very much, because Jennifer called me and said, Bree wants her Bible. I was like, that's pretty cool, Bree. Of all the things that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's missing, but she said, I want my purple Bible back. And they did, you know, through the course of all this, there was a few things brought back, but one of them that wasn't brought back was her Bible. So I told Jennifer, I said, our church, we're going to get her Bible. And so, and that was difficult, getting a Bible from Mardell's. My gosh. I hope this gets on the radio. We called Mardell's, and they wouldn't even take a card over the phone to get this Bible, right? We had to go, and thank God we were going to the city, and we went, and we go in there to get the Bible. And I just love this, but this is a great sermon illustration, Bree, because this was the last Bible that they had, the purple one that she was wanting. And so then I had to go up front and get the inscription made. But here, Bree, what I want to tell you, I know, and Bree, you know, that was traumatic, guys. That was very traumatic. And it upset Bree. Bree, here's what I want to tell you. I know that was a nightmare that happened. It's not going to happen again in the name of Jesus. And God wants you to keep your vision alive and your hope alive. Because I know you've been through a lot of setbacks in life, but that's just a little bump in the road, okay? And God's got you, and God's going to take care of you, and God's got big things for you. But keep this right by your bedstand. Read it, okay? Don't just let it be the purple thing in your room that decorates. Read it. Get this in you. But I love that she wanted to have this. And so I'm using that as my little sermon illustration today to give you your Bible. So give Bree a big hand clap. She's like, thank you, Uncle Mark, for pointing me out during my message. Do what? Okay, I'll give you the box here in a little bit, okay? All right. Here's, guys, I'm telling you, some of you in here have had traumatic things happen like that. We've had traumatic things. And here's the deal. You've got to keep hope alive. You got to keep your vision alive. All right, here's number two. Number two. Lesson number two. This is a good one. Number two, see the princess, not the problem. And I'm going to explain that here in just a second. Your perspective gives your life directive. You have to keep the right perspective in life. Right now, there's a lot of perspectives that are being thrown at you, and you need to keep the right perspective, gives your directive. Now, listen to this. This is good. Now, the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage. There's the princess. And will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. And David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And they repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. David was like, is that true? Is that really what's going to happen? And so what happened, not only did he come down there with vision, he even got more vision. And he got more vision that I see the princess, not the problem. I'm sure he started asking around, is she good looking? In the camp. And some of us, that's the problem. We have the wrong perspective in life. We're always seeing the problem. Always. There's many times Jade and I, and if you're married and as couples, you need to help each other. Jada helps me, I help her, because there's some days that all I can see is the problem. And then Jada will give me another vision. I said, no, honey, your perspective is not right. There's days vice versa. We help each other out. That's what you do as a married couple. And you need to see the princess, not the problem. And if your wife is there with you, your spouse is there with you, look at them and say, I see you. I see you, okay? All right, here's the third lesson to learn. Everybody learning something today? The third lesson is there is a cause. And the cause is what you're going through, whatever tribulation, trial that you're going through, the cause is that your life would show forth the victory of the cross. That's the cause. That when people get around you, they're like, okay, I know what he or she's going through. They still have peace. They still have joy. I want what they have. Because you're showing forth the victory of the cross. That doesn't mean that we don't have bad days. We do. But we need to be having more good days than we have bad days. Amen? You need to be disciplined enough and mature enough to say, okay, that I'm not acting right. I'm not, my mindset's off, and I'm seeing the problem. I'm not seeing the princess. I'm seeing the nightmare. I'm not seeing the vision. And that's what you gotta make those changes like that. Take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, because the cause is that your life would show forth the victory of the cross. And this was something that David had a hold of even at a young age. It says, now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? You know, and I talked to you about this last week, is that's, you know, brothers fighting. Let's go outside. Let's get out of this tent. Let's go duke it out. David didn't do that. He spoke truth to him, was firm about it, but he was like, you're not my enemy, brother. My enemy's down there in the bottom of the valley named Goliath. And so we got to know who the real enemy is the body of Christ. The real enemy is the devil, okay? It's not each other. And so we have to remember that. It's not your brothers and sisters in Christ. I've often said this, is they out there will know that we in here belong to him up there is when we have love for one another. Even in the midst of all the dysfunction that every family in here, I promise you, I don't care how functional you think you are, we all have dysfunction. Amen. We function dysfunctionally, all right? And we need to have grace for one another and remember that there is a cause. All right, here's number four. Number four, the fourth lesson to learn. You have a choice on who you're going to trust. You have a choice on who you're going to trust. And I wrote this on here. Bad decisions create enemies called memories. You have to fight all the rest of your life. You're still right with God. You just have to fight to feel that way. Okay? Yeah. I'm going to say that again. Because we've all made bad decisions. I've made bad decisions. Even as a Christian, even as a child of God, even as a son of God, even as a daughter of God, we've made bad decisions. But what happens is whenever we, you know, you have that choice, you know, and we often want to blame somebody. Well, they made me do it. The devil made me do it. No, we had a choice. You have a choice on who you're going to trust. And bad decisions create enemies called memories. You have to fight all the rest of your life. And you're still right with God. You just have to fight to feel that way. And everybody said, amen. But God wants you to get that revelation that you're right with Him, even if you've made a bad decision. All right? God's not mad at you. God loves you. That's God's grace. I love this about David. It says in this, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm going to read verses 33 through 40. It says, Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep." And I'm sure Saul was like laughing to himself. And he said, "When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Well, go, and the Lord be with you, buddy." You know, he's starting to convince Saul. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. And he says, "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." He didn't have his, now the key that we have to learn from this is he didn't have his trust in those weapons. That's not what his trust was in. And so he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. His trust was in his sling and his stone. But number one, his trust was in the Lord God Almighty. And here's the deal. God's going to use what you have in your household, what you have in your hand. Some of you may have been affected by this economy. And there is some talent, some gift that God's given you that it's right there in front of you, and God's wanting you to resurrect it and use it for His kingdom and for His glory. And just pray about it and ask Him. He'll show you what it is, all right? And that's number four. You have a choice on who you're going to trust. That day, thank God, David chose the Lord, number one, in the sling and his stone, because that's what he had his trust in. And we're called about the lion and the bear. All right, here's number five. Sorry, I didn't get the next slide switched. Lessons to learn. Number five, your past victories will be waiting for you in your future assignments. This is really good. Your past victories will be waiting for you in your future assignments. So just like with the lion and the bear, those were past victories. They'll be waiting for you in your future assignments in his assignment with Goliath. And your attack becomes your advantage. Your attack becomes your advantage. It says this, and it says, "And David said to Ahimelech, 'Is there not here on hand a spear or a sword? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste.'" This is after he becomes king. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 21. This is later in life. And it says in verse 9, it says, "So the priest said, 'The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, there it is, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod.'" This is way later in life, okay, after this, you know, this event happened when he was a teenager. "If you will take that, take it, for there is no other except that one here." And David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." Talking about, he remembered the day that he took his head off with that sword. Now, there's a lot of meaning in this that we can glean for us in the New Testament, because we're all New Testament believers here. And so the ephod had two meanings. Number one, it was part of the priest's dress. Number two, it was image. And what we need to realize from that is you were created in the image of God, all right? The ephod was also where it was wrapped in cloth. This cloth, the ephod, was blue, it was purple, and it was gold. And the blue means unlimited heavenly authority. The purple means royalty by relationship. There was also the scarlet, which was the red, means the blood, the kinship. And then there was the gold, and gold thread was what held it together, and gold represents purity. Now, here's what I want to tell all of us as Christians today, as New Testament believers. The devil has authority where you lack identity. I'm going to say that again. The devil has authority where you lack identity. So when you know who you are in Christ, he has no authority. But when you don't know who you are in Christ, he has authority over you. And so the symbolic meaning is my garment or my attitude or my mindset. We're talking about mindsets. And my disposition is this, all right? We're talking about having this mindset that David had. He understood this even in the Old Testament. He understood this even as a young Jewish boy, all right? Number one, he understood that he was seated in heavenly places. That's the blue. He understood that I am royal by kingship of the blood of Jesus. That's the purple and scarlet. And number three, he said, I am pure before the Father because of Jesus, and that knowledge of purity is what gold keeps me thinking I have righteous power. All right? And that's the gold. And this just dawned on me right here as I was reading that to you, because I have this written in my notes. This is Holy Spirit inspired information that I'm about to give you. When David, because I hadn't even seen this in Scripture, but whenever in 1 Samuel 17, if you know what happened in 1 Samuel 16, he was anointed king. And so when he went into that fight, he knew, I'm already a winner. Somebody needs to hear that today. I'm already a winner. He was already anointed king. It didn't happen after that. It was before that. And God wants you to know that you're his child. Amen. And you need to know the book of Revelation ends that we win. We're winners. And everybody said. Now, last thing, and I want you to write this down. Either that or take this mental note, and this is the reason why I'm going to say it's the last thing. Because a lot of times you either remember what the first thing, what the preacher said, or you remember the last thing. So I'm giving you the last thing today. And somebody else needs to hear this today. We all need to hear. I needed to hear this. You don't need to defeat every giant. You just have to defeat yours. Yeah. You don't have to defeat every giant. Well, was there other giants in the land? Yeah, there were. You know, but you don't have to defeat every giant. You just have to defeat yours. That's all that God's asking you to do. And everybody said, all right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want to make sure, I pray that this message helped you today. Take this home, study it, and apply this week. Know who you are in Christ. Have the right mindset is the main thing that the Holy Spirit is trying to minister to all of us today, because you are a child of the Most High God, and you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves you. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. The Bible makes it very simple, very easy to do that. In Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul said that whoever confesses with their mouth the Lord Jesus, whoever believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead, said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want the honor and the privilege of leading you in a prayer. I call this the prayer of salvation. This is just accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to stand up in here. Jada, will you come up here, babe? And we're going to speak a blessing over you. this morning. Did everybody learn something today? Okay. From David and Goliath. Have the David mindset, all right? Now, I'm going to bless you today. And this is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. You guys have a great week. Keep remembering Kim, Dora, and Joe Zane in your prayers, too.
Together with Pastor Chris and Pastor Stephen on Thursday to just go in after the presence of God and try to pen lyric and melody and